You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want to welcome you today. So excited. And if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to James chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And our Cypress campus, to say a word to you, it's so fun to surprise you guys last week and jump in to the service, which was so great, and to be able to speak to our digital family and all of our campuses and the Loop campus as well, and so excited about it. So we're going to be in James chapter 3. If you remember, let me tell you a couple things just as you're turning there. First of all, we have got our James journals. Remember a couple weeks ago, we said we were going to fill out and hand write the book of James. And then I said, let's do this. And we gave away thousands of journals. We all started and we all had great intentions. And maybe you're like me. I went, oh yeah, I forgot I haven't been doing that. And so now we're going to back in it. So I'm at James 4 is where I am. It's been fun to write it as I'm preaching it. And then we're going to turn those in on April 13th. So that's going to be a great time. So don't forget about that. Also want to tell you just some great things going on. I just want to say, go Cougars. Hey, how about that, right? Get a little cheer for U of H. That's so great. We're excited about that. And we hope that y'all represent well. Great job getting to the Final Four. We'll be rooting for you, which is so fun to have that. But it's a joy. Then last week, we talked about words, about James in chapter 3, about our words. And it said, no man is perfect in what he says. And I told you that I was trying to bring sarcasm out of my life and encouragement in my life. And then at the end of the message, at the end of the time, I gave some flyers to a guy. And I said, I'm not saying just kidding anymore. And I was made a sarcastic remark to him. And then I said, just kidding in front of everybody right here. So I just want you to know, everybody fails in what they do, okay? But we can't remove joking around, all right? Well, they're still going to joke around and have a good time with that. But I thought that was kind of funny that I said that. And then there it was. It wasn't a cutting remark. It was just kind of a fun deal. So, but anyway, that was kind of fun. But when we jump into the rest of this chapter of scripture, we're going to see here that he's moving from words to wisdom. So that's what we're talking about today is wisdom. We all need wisdom. We all want wisdom and we can get it from a lot of places, but we want to be getting it from heaven. But I thought it would be fun for us to look at some wisdom found in some different places before we jump to the Bible. Wisdom in a couple movies, a couple funny quotes, and then of course, country music has always got some wisdom to share with us a little bit here. So let's just get started kind of getting us going, get our wheels turning. Dory from Finding Nemo. When life gets you down, you know what you need to do? You just need to keep swimming, right? That's good. Okay, we got that. If we were to go to The Jungle Book, Baloo, I don't know. I hadn't seen this in a while. Baloo, is that how you say it? Okay, good. Glad I got an audience here to help me out on all these things, which is great. Baloo, well, you're never too old to have fun. You're just too old to bounce back afterward. Grandparents, can I get an amen a little bit on that? You know what that's like. Okay, Facebook post. If we're not supposed to have a midnight snack, then why is there a light in the fridge? Good question. Good question. Always borrow money from a pessimist. He won't expect it back. Very good advice there we've got. If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band, right? That lead to guitar is hot, but not for a Louisiana man. Don't know how that fits together in the rest of the song. But the last one we have here, you got the King James version, but here's King George here of country music. There's a difference in living and living well, all right? That's what James is going to tell us right here. There's a difference in living and a difference in living well. So I want you to look in James chapter 3, verse 13, and we're going to see the difference in living and living well. Who among you is wise? I want you to do this. Circle every time you see the word wise in your Bible or underline it. Who among you is wise? There's one. And understanding. By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. Two in one verse. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom, number three, doesn't come down from above, but is earthly and unspiritual and demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in every evil practice. But wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peace-loving, it's gentle, it's compliant, it's full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, it's still strong, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. So we're going to look at the difference of godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. The first thing I want you to know, write it down in your message notes, is this. Godly wisdom leads to good works. Godly wisdom leads to good works. It's found in verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. How we live is a statement about our wisdom. How we live is a statement about our faith. You remember in James chapter 2, he combines faith in works. And now in James chapter 3, he combines wisdom in works. So what he's saying is, if we're going to live a life that God wants us to live, we're going to live with faith, we're trusting God, and wisdom, we're following God. So we want to have both those things together, that there's faith and there's wisdom. And here's what happens, is you begin to walk out faith and wisdom, and faith and wisdom is going to lead to good works. Now, we oftentimes think that sin is basically this. It's just disobedience to God. And it is. But we think that's the thing. But that kind of doesn't make enough for us to make us change. Because we go, well, if I disobey God and he's a forgiving God, I'll do my own path. And as I do my own path, I'll just ask for forgiveness later. I mean, disobeying God, if there's not really consequences, I'll just do what I want to do. But what if we were to frame it like this? And this could also be framed. This is true. Disobeying God is walking in sin, but it's also a lack of faith. We got that. But it's also a lack of wisdom. Here's what I want us to hear. Sin is not just disobedience. It's a deliberate choice to make our lives unwise and to make our lives worse. Sin is a deliberate choice to be unwise and to make your life and my life worse. So when we sin, we're walking into unwise territory, a lack of wisdom. Now, when you think about it like that, that makes me want to sin even less. Sure, I don't want to disobey God, but I sure don't want to make a deliberate choice to be unwise. Did anybody this year talk to your CPA around tax time and say, hey, look, this is what I'm trying to do. I want to pay as much tax as I can and make as little return as possible. Anybody say, if I could decrease my income and increase my taxes, that's what I'm after. What would we say? That's a financially unwise decision. And all of us go, well, why would I do that? Because it makes no sense. And when we walk into sin, we're making a spiritually unwise decision. We are choosing to make our lives worse. And when we just say, well, I'm just disobeying God, but I'm going to get what I want. That doesn't sometimes have the weight of it. But when we say I'm disobeying God, that should be enough, but it's not. I'm walking in a lack of faith, okay? And I'm walking in a lack of wisdom, and I'm choosing to make my life unwise and to make my life worse. Verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show, watch, here's what I'm saying, that his works are done in gentleness that comes from wisdom. Wisdom is this, it's doing the right things in the right way at the right time. What does it mean to be wise? It's doing the right things, okay, we got that, in the right way. I'll show you, it's gentleness, is what he just said in verse 13. In the right way is gentleness and at the right time. So if we're gonna make a decision that's gonna be wise, we gotta first of all do the right thing. And then secondly, we gotta do it in the right way. And then thirdly, we got to do it at the right time. So the right thing is that we would walk in the good works of God. You could say good works, but you could take an O out of it and make it God works, what the works God wants you to do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify your Father in heaven. And so we want to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. The right way he gives us there is gentleness, that the works are done, verse 13, in gentleness that comes from wisdom. Now, that is an interesting Greek word. If you were to take that word outside the scriptures, what you would find that it was used for just in the society of that day, it was used to put a bit in a horse's mouth and to control that horse. Now, been to the rodeo? Do you want to get on a saddle bronc? Or you want to get on a horse with a bit in their mouth that you're going to be able to control a bit? I want to get on a calm, gentle horse, not on I'm holding a rope and the thing's trying to throw me off. And so this gentle horse is a bridle. It's a synonym of meekness that you can guide that horse wherever you need to do it. Do you remember earlier in James chapter 3 last week, it said that our tongue is like a bridle in our mouth. It's like a rudder on the ship. He's taking that same illustration all the way through the chapter. And he says, I want you to do things with gentleness. Gentleness and good works go together. We could say it like this. The fruit of the Spirit. What's Galatians 5? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so it's a fruit of the Spirit that our Christian growth, as we're walking in wisdom and faith, these things are going to come out of our lives. There's a guy, his name is John Gottman. He's a marriage and relationship researcher, an expert really in the world. And he can predict, he did a 6-year study on predicting the likelihood of a couple's divorce by observing just the first 3 minutes of their conflict discussion. So he could predict the likelihood of divorce by looking at the first 3 minutes of a conflict discussion. Here's what he found. 96% of discussions that start harshly never return to a positive territory. 96%. In the first 3 minutes, here's what it is. So in your marriage, well, you never, well, I always, why didn't you, where's the such and such? It never returns. Married couples, can I get an amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? It starts off harsh, and it's real hard to get it back out of the ditch because now the fire's going, you're angry, you're upset. So that's why James in chapter 3 talks about our words. So if you have a tendency to speak with harsh tones, can I give you a Greek phrase? Quit it, okay? Just quit it. Because getting down, it's really hard. 96% chance you're not getting out of the ditch. And you do that over and over and over, and it becomes a habit of how you fight and how you discuss. And he's saying here, he can look and he can watch, and in 3 minutes, he can give a forecast of whether or not that marriage is going to make it or not. Gentleness. Gentleness. So when somebody's harsh with you, respond gentle to them, right? And let that conversation just kind of simmer down a little bit. And then let them have it right after you got them at that point. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. We're joking around. But with gentleness, what does it say in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1? It says that a harsh word stirs up wrath, but a gentle word turns away anger. Don't you find that to be true? A harsh word. Somebody says something, you're already mad. So you come back a little harsher. They come back a little harsher. And where are you? You end up in a big fight. You might as well just quit in your marriage. Not quit the marriage, but quit the fight. Time out and say, let's just stop. Let's just stop. This is not going to go well. Okay, let's just stop. Gentleness is the right way to respond. See, the goal of wisdom is that we would have a good relationship with God and man. You remember James chapter 1, verse 27? For this is pure and undefiled religion, that you would treat the orphans and the widows with care, and that you would rightly relate with one another. So we rightly relate with God in our wisdom. We rightly relate with other people in our wisdom. And that, my friend, is the center place of joy. When you have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others, doesn't mean life's going to be easy without trials, but it does mean that you can walk in trust and faith and wisdom. You're not saying increase my taxes, decrease my income. You're now walking on the right side of wisdom. And so wisdom, we've got a choice, though. Where are we going to find this? Is our wisdom earthly or is our wisdom heavenly? Is our wisdom earthly or is our wisdom heavenly? Our wisdom, when we find it to be earthly, we're going to go in the wrong way. But when we find it to be heavenly, that makes a huge difference. So we're able to see how this whole thing plays out. Look, if you will, with me in the scripture. I want to read you verse 14, and we're going to look at earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom. First is going to be earthly. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition, remember those two things are going to pop up again. In your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. What happens when we get envious? We start bragging about ourselves. And oh, I got this and they got that. Verse 15, but wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly and unspiritual and demonic. This kind of wisdom is from the earth. But where there is envy and selfish ambition, second time he's mentioned it, what happens? There's disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, peaceable, loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, and without pretense. So here we have earthly or heavenly. Which is it going to be? Earthly or heavenly? Now, do you remember the phrase you heard when you bought a house or if you're thinking about buying a house? Here's what your real estate agent's going to tell you. There's three words that are primary in real estate. See if you can say them with me. Location, location, location. Those are the three words, location, location. So that's what James is doing. Is the wisdom from heaven or from earth. Location, location, location. If George Strait was to say it, there's a difference in living and living well. And so here we have the location determines the type of wisdom that's coming. So I decided to give us a little illustration of that. And so I got us to illustrate heavenly wisdom. I got this bottle of Fiji water. This came from Fiji. Amazing. This might be as close to Fiji as I ever get. It's a beautiful bottle. It's a great bottle. It tastes like good water. It's a great thing. So Fiji water, absolutely beautiful. This could be heavenly wisdom that here we have from that location. It's water from Fiji. Then as it rained this week, there's a drainage ditch in my neighborhood. So I got this bottle of water and it matches my khaki jacket is what it matches. Okay. So in my neighborhood, I got this bottle of water. They're both H2O. But one of them is from a different location than the other one. This is from a ditch in Houston is where this is from. This may be from a ditch in Fiji. I'm not sure exactly where they got it in Fiji. But it's a prettier ditch. We know that, right? Heavenly wisdom, earthly wisdom. Now, both are water. Which one do you want to drink? I'll wash my hands with this one and maybe get a little mud and pour it on. I'll, you know, do something with the water, water the plants with it, whatever. This is the only one that's going in me. And so what he's saying here is he's saying there is a earthly wisdom. And that earthly wisdom is filled with bitter envy and selfish ambition. And when that bitter envy and selfish ambition come together, what's going to happen is verse 16, it says it's going to bring disorder of every kind. Now, here's a great verse for you. Write it down in your notes. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. And it says this, God is not a God of disorder. God is not a God of chaos, but he's a God of order. He's a God of peace in the congregations of all the Lord's people. So God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. So when there's a place of disorder and it's just chaos, you can say, wait a minute, Lord, you're not a God of chaos. We need to bring this back. We need to get this back in the realm. And here's what's going to happen. If you drink this water over your lifetime, I bet you're going to get some chaos going on in your body. And when we walk in unwise ways, in sinful ways, when we choose to walk with a lack of faith, when we choose to walk with a lack of wisdom, when we choose in those ways, when we're choosing to make our lives worse. Let that be the definition of sin for you. I'm choosing to make my life worse and less wise. You're drinking out of this and I'm drinking out of this. So imagine you go to work and for 25 years, for 40 hours a week, your life is about selfish ambition and bitter envy as you try to get that next deal. And for 25 years of 40 hours a week, you're drinking this. You're going to end up with some chaos you don't want. Now, is life free from challenge? No. Can you follow God and have a lot of problems? Absolutely. But I'm going to choose to walk with the heavenly wisdom, where this water is what's going into my life. The living water of Jesus is what's going into my life. So now instead of showing up at the workplace and just trying to make selfish ambition happen and trying to beat that and beat this and keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, and to go forward in that, I'm going to say, no, Lord, you've given me a platform. You've given me a place. You've given me a place to use my gifts. You've given me a place where I can shine the light of Jesus Christ. And so I'm walking into work, sure, to pay my bills, no doubt about it. And I want to pay less taxes and make higher income. That's wise. But we want to walk in this way where now I'm walking in the pure water that's there. Look at what he describes. See, earthly water is wisdom of the world. Let me give you your blank. I missed that. Earthly water is wisdom of the world. But what is heavenly water? Heavenly water is wisdom from the Lord. So you can get a little wash your hands water wisdom. Dory's got some thoughts. There's some things on Facebook that are cute. But we want heavenly wisdom when we're talking about our parenting, about being a student, about being a married person, a single person, whatever it is. Heavenly wisdom is from the Lord. Can I give you some scripture to just back this up? Colossians 1:9. For this reason, since the day we first heard of you, we've not stopped praying for you, asking the Lord to fill you with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the Lord fills us with spiritual wisdom. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart. And it goes on and it says, and Christ in whom are found, are hidden all the treasures. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So where's wisdom found? It's found in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become the wisdom of God for us. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God for us. WWJD, absolutely. Verse 6 of Proverbs 2, two more verses. Let me give you some Old Testament. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So we have before us this choice: heavenly wisdom, worldly wisdom. And James says, be careful about this one. It's coming from spiritual envy, bitter envy, and from selfish ambition. But this one, listen to what it's coming from. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. What's the first difference about these two bottles? Pure. Pure. And it's peace-loving. And it's gentle. We just talked about that. It's compliant. It's agreeable. It's not just trying to always start a fight. Full of mercy and good fruits. Good works are going to happen. And I love this. But it's unwavering. Doesn't mean you get walked on. It's unwavering. It's still strong. It's unwavering. And without pretense. You think you're big stuff? Be without pretense is where wisdom is. God's the one that's big stuff, not me, not you. And then it says in the fruit of righteousness, all these things, the fruit of righteousness will be sown in peace by those who cultivate peace, that we would walk in peace in our lives. So he says, now this one is first of all pure and peace-loving and gentle and compliant and good fruits and good works and all these different things. And this one is selfishness and bitter envy that's there. Now I want you to take your listening guide. I want you to take your listening guide and look at this. At the very bottom, I put a chart there for you from the Maxwell Leadership Bible that I think does a great job from this passage of scripture. Gentleness from above, it's gentle and generous. That's the kind of wisdom. From below, it's selfish ambition and it's jealous. Wisdom from above speaks the truth. Wisdom from below lies and deceives. Wisdom from above is pure and organized. Wisdom from below is disorderly and demonic. One results in peace from heaven, the other in disharmony. It's reasonable from above. It's self-centered from below. It's the fruit of love and mercy and the fruit of strife and competition from below. So it takes these things. I love that little chart that it has to be able to, and here's what we can do. We can look at our decisions and say, is it the left column or is it the right column? We can look at even our lives and say, I got more left going on or more right going on here. And to be able to understand the aspects of wisdom, to know what we're actually drinking from. And what happens is that last verse, the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. It means this, that we are going to live our lives in a way that we're able to make a difference in somebody else's life. Isn't that great? So I'm walking with wisdom. As I'm walking with that wisdom, God's going to use me to live a life that makes a difference in somebody else's life, which is great. Now, I love my wife's family. They're such a blessing and such a joy. And some of them might be watching online right now. And so that's a blessing. So I for sure want to say that. I love y'all. I love my in-laws. I love my in-laws. No, I do. They're amazing people. Well, her grandmother lived to be over 100 and she passed away. Amazing lady. And, you know, just like most depression generation type people, she kept everything, right? So we've got lots and lots and lots of stuff that we've had to go through. And other family members, of course, have done even more work than us. And so being able to go through all that stuff. But there's some things that she kept that were just amazing. You know, I mean, so if we want to help your kids, have a will and clean out your closets, okay? But keep the amazing stuff will be the blessing. And she kept some amazing things. We have literally boxes of World War II handwritten letters going back and forth between her and her husband, these love letters. I mean, we'll never get rid of those. They're amazing. It's beautiful. Got old books, they're like, wow, and Bibles we found and different things. And so I always go in and like to look through some of that stuff that we have kind of in a back shed area. And I found this letter and I opened it up. It was from the United Society of Christian Endeavor. Okay. It was kind of a youth thing, like maybe think of like a Young Life back in the early 1900s. And so we got this letter. We'll put up a picture for you. You can just kind of see it. And so one of their cousins was H.C. Milby. Okay. You ever heard of Milby High School? Or Milby Hotel? Well, that was their cousins. That was the cousins there. These people were, you'll see in a minute, I'll tell you about their generosity, in Harrisburg, Texas. Harrisburg was a part of Houston. That's like East Houston is what it would be. So this would be like a kind of hobby airport, kind of down southeast area. And you didn't have to even put an address in 1923 when this was written. You would just say Harrisburg, Texas, and these people, and they were well-to-do, so they probably, everybody knew who they were. But I got this letter. Let me read you the letter. You got a picture of it there. You can't read it, but let me read you just a piece of this letter that's so great. My dear Mr. Milby, there are a certain number of men to whom we always look when we feel a special need for help in any particular direction. And you are one of those who have always responded courteously, with courtesy. Now, I love that. Let's just stop right there. I read this to my kids, and I said, I want you to see that you have a legacy in your family of giving to God's work. I want you to see that. This is dated June 28, 1923. In this family, we're givers. We give to God's work. We want to give sacrificially to God's work. There's no question. As long as you're in this family, this is who we are. This is what we do. And so I love the legacy and the heritage that the opening paragraph says, when we're in need, we turn to you and you make a huge difference. And we are grateful for that. You know what's so sweet is I did a little research with some family members about this. These people, through a foundation they put together, paid for at least a part, I'm not sure how much, of my wife's mom's college education. Isn't that amazing? These were the wealthier side. They weren't on the same, you know, so don't get like, oh, wow, they're from the mill. No, these are cousins, okay? But the generosity paid for my wife's mom's college education and all of her siblings. I love one sentence says there's a legacy. So this is what I want you to hear on this. When we do the World Mission Offering next week, let's have 100% participation. Students, can I put it on you in front of your parents right here? Parents, let your kids make their own gift. Don't let them just coattail on you. Let them make their own gift that will go outside the church for world missions and also here in the United States missions and even in our state. Let them make their own gift. God loves the six-year-old's piggy bank. Because it teaches something great. If you can't give $4, you're never going to give 40. If you can't give 40, you'll never give 400. If you can't give 400, you'll never give 4,000. And on it could go. God teaches us things in those moments. So everybody make their own gifts. Now, couples, you can come together. I get that. I understand that. Kelly and I have already made our gifts. We're already in. It's going to be a blessing. But in our family, I love these things because this says our family, we're givers. This is the legacy I want to leave in my kids. I want to leave that. Now, listen, it gets even better. Our special need just now, this is 1923, is to care for the Christian Endeavor conditions, so this is the ministry, of countries of devastated Europe. Strange to say, the societies, that would be the Christian ministries, were not destroyed by the war, even in the so-called enemy countries, but grew in numbers and in strength, even in the darkest days of the war and some of the darker days of peace which followed. Do you know what that says? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church, is what that says. He says in the darkest days of World War I, this is World War I, World War II is not going to happen until the 40s. World War I, in the darkest days of the war, God's mission was continuing to go. And in dark days of peace, because don't you know it's hard to recover when your whole world shambles? And in the darkest days of peace, God's mission is going forth. And then he goes on in the letter and says, and if you would like to give, then that world, that gift will be used across the world in amazing ways. And as I had this, as I saw this, as I found this, I was reading this to my kids right after I found it to be able to say, this is who we are. We're legacy givers. That's what we're going to be in the Mott family. We're going to give to the work of the Lord. That's what's going to happen. And God's work can work in the hardest times around the world. And so I tell you this, as we talk about good works, as we talk about wisdom, the wisdom of God is that your life and your family's life would be a part of the gospel of God in your finances and the gospel of God in your wisdom, in your life and in your marriage and all those things. Yeah, you can go get another shirt and I'm sure you need another pair of shoes, but don't drink that. For 25 or 50 years of just you, 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 you. Instead, taste and see that the Lord is good. And you'll find the purest of water to quench the needs of your soul. And God says through James, wisdom from above or wisdom from below, which will be us? As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And we're choosing this one. Now, of course, I can't control the rest of my legacy for years and years to go, but as far as it is with me and Kelly, that's what we're doing. And that'll happen in giving, but that'll happen also in the way we fight in a marriage, the way we talk to each other in our marriage. That'll happen in the ways that we love people, the way that we care for people, the way that we share the gospel, the way that we put Jesus first in times where it's not easy. And instead of just saying, well, it's all about obedience or disobedience. No, it's not all about disobedience and obedience. It's about disobedience, yes, but it's also about, do I want to walk in faith? Do I want to walk in wisdom? Or do I want to make my life worse and make my life more unwise and create more disorder and more stuff with selfish ambition and envy, which all of us can have in our lives. So I tell you this, there's a difference in living and living well. And James has got a word for us. He started with words and he ends with wisdom. And in that we see a clear choice. I don't want khaki water. I want Fiji water. Last thing I'm gonna tell you, you don't even have to go to Fiji to get it. You just go to the cross. And from the cross of Christ in the empty tomb of Jesus flows living water to wash you clean and be forgiven. The world will say, hey, just do better and you'll get to heaven if you got more good works than you do bad. Jesus says, I'll wash you clean and give you grace and forgiveness and you'll never have to worry about that sin ever coming back again because you are gonna be washed by my living water. Sure, you'll struggle with sin, but I've forgiven you of everything. Hey, just try your best. No, let Christ's strength be in you. I'll just throw a nickel in the plate. No, let God have control of all your finances. Oh, you know what? If your wife says that, you should say this. No, you love her and you serve her as Christ served the church. Do you see it? And now we put these together. It's so obvious when they're together. And that's what James does. He says, realize where this is coming from. This is from a ditch and this is from a fountain. Take the fountain every time. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so mighty. And we ask you, God, that you would give us wisdom from heaven. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives without reproach, generously. So we ask for that, God. For those of us that have been drinking water from the ditch way too long, may we come to the fountain of Jesus and taste and see that the Lord is good. It's scary, but it's right and it's wise and it's true. Father, for our world mission offering next week, lay a number on all of our hearts that we would give in 100% participation and that you would move in that way. We praise you. We thank you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come and talk to somebody. Place your faith in the fountain of living water of Jesus Christ. He'll take care of you. He'll help you. He's done it for me. Take a moment, just in the quietness of your heart, and ask God to give you wisdom from heaven. Ask him for that right now. Turn to him.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.